North Shore Today.
The area's only daily news podcast.
On MSONewsSports.com.
Along with Bill Newell, I'm Rick Moore, and this is North Shore Today for Monday, February 10, 2020.
Salem's search for a new school superintendent is hitting its final week with one more round of interviews and a vote scheduled for Thursday night. Dustin Luca, writing in Saturday's Salem News, writes that the school committee is holding three final meetings on the superintendent search with 2 days of committee-run interviews today and Wednesday. Each meeting will feature two candidates, each with an hour and a half scheduled for questions from the committee, according to the agendas for the meetings that appeared online this past week. Then a special meeting will be held on Thursday, February 13, to deliberate and vote on the final selection for superintendent to become effective July 1, 2020 this year.
The Merrimack River Eagle Festival, presented by Mass Audubon's Joppa Flats Education Center and Parker River National Wildlife Refuge, will take place this Saturday, February 15, in Newburyport. According to David Moon, the director of the Joppa Flats Sanctuary, the once nearly extinct bald eagle population has made a tremendous comeback.
We started the Eagle Festival many years ago because the lower Merrimack River is a place where bald eagles concentrate in the coldest part of the winter. The reason is that their primary prey is fish, and eagles have made an incredible recovery since the banning of DDT back in the 70s. Their population had declined to where it was really hard to find an eagle in the Northeast. So now they really are still recovering. Their population is still increasing. Because of one law that banned a chemical that was really problematic for a lot of birds that eat fish. And so now there are resident pairs of eagles that spend their entire life. They don't migrate. They stick around in the lower Merrimack. And that number seems to keep increasing year to year. And then in winter, when it's really cold up north of here and even just inland, when lakes and rivers that the eagles that live there would be depending on to get fish, when they freeze up, eagles will come to the mouth of the Merrimack, which is a traditional place for them because the current is very strong and there's also the influence of salt water that comes in with the tide. So between the strong current and the saline water, it stays open and eagles can come and forage for food. So we set up the Eagle Festival as a wonderful event where people can come and be sure to see wonderful stuff. There are a lot of different opportunities to see wildlife event.
That's David Moon of the Joppa Flats Sanctuary, host of the Merrimack Eagle Festival this Saturday, February 15.
14 months after its last proposal was rejected by the state, the city of Lynn has a new $100 million plan to replace the Pickering Middle School. Gayla Colley writing in today's Daily Item of Lynn that the school committee is expected to vote Thursday to submit another statement of interest to the Massachusetts School Building Authority, that's the MSBA, a quasi-independent governmental authority that helps fund the construction of school buildings. Mayor Thomas McGee of Lynn, who serves as chairman of the school committee, said that there's a consensus among city leaders that there's a need for new schools due to the deteriorating conditions of the 103-year-old Pickering Middle School, which was now at the top of Lynn's replacement list.
Heather Altarizio is reporting in today's Newburyport Daily News. Massachusetts Rivers Alliance Policy Director Gabby Queenan stressed the importance of updating water infrastructure across the state, saying regional precipitation could increase up to 70%. Queenan, who has worked at the Cambridge-based nonprofit for nearly 4 years, spoke about her role and why people should pay attention to what's happening with the Merrimack River during her appearance Saturday on the local Pulse Internet radio show in Newburyport with host Joe DiBiase. With climate change on the rise, New England is expecting about a 70% increase in precipitation, Queenan is quoted as saying. When you add that kind of increase in precipitation, you're going to trigger these combined sewer overflows more often. Combined sewer overflows, or CSOs, occur when there is a power outage or too much precipitation for a community's sewage system to handle, so untreated sewage is dumped into places such as the Merrimack River. Communities are working to fix this outdated infrastructure, but it could cost around $4 billion. More on this story in today's Daily News of Newburyport.
For Massachusetts drivers and cell phone users, it's now hands-free, or will be soon. Nahant Police Chief Robert Dwyer told the Nahant Selectmen last week about the new state law and its implementation.
It's simple. You can't hold a cell phone any longer, no electronic device. It has to be in some type of cradle or through Bluetooth. You can't have it in your hand to talk on the phone. Definitely texting is out. It's always, it has been out. You can't do that. So holding the mobile electronic device is a no. Looking at the mobile electronic device unless viewing for navigation, device affixed to the vehicle. Using a mobile electronic device unless in hand-free mode, the Bluetooth. So it's simple. It starts, there are some exemptions, however, for emergency, medicals, accident on a roadway, need assistance for other reasons, police, fire, or emergency, and disabled vehicles. From February 23rd, 2020, the law becomes effective. Warnings will be given through March 31st, 2020. First offense is a $100 fine, no surcharge. Second offense is $250 fine, plus a program completion, probably a safe driver program. And the third offense is $500, and plus a program completion and a surcharge to your accident. I mean, to your insurance.
Nahant Police Chief Robert Dwyer talking about the cell phone hands-free law coming into effect in Massachusetts.
Taylor Ann Bradford's reporting in today's Gloucester Times. The Briar Neck neighborhood in Gloucester is on the road to some long-awaited upgrades. The Gloucester City Council's Budget and Finance Committee unanimously voted last week to recommend that the full council approve a loan authorization request of $435,000 for the Briar Neck neighborhood paving betterment. Ward 1 Councilor Scott Memhard is quoted as saying, "It's going to be a big project for the neighborhood, but once it's done, it is a long-term benefit." The money allotted for the project will go toward the cost of repaving several private ways in the Briar Neck neighborhood, which is between Good Harbor and Long Beaches, including the cost of police details. The project was spurred on by numerous potholes that had been patched over time but are in need of permanent repairs. The affected streets include Briar Neck Road, Barbary Way, Arlen Terrace, Cliff Road, Palfrey Road, Prospect Terrace, Salt Island Road, and Warwick Road. More on the story in today's Gloucester Times.
That will do it for us today on North Shore Today. Thanks so much for joining us on the program, a daily news podcast with North Shore news from all around the region. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. You can always email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. Have a great Monday, everybody.